Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 23rd day of February 2019. Very, very grateful. We're going to be looking at the big Shemada, God. Yeah, God, 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 God. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I have questions that people have asked me about this and the subject thereof, and it's a touchy one, but it's one that needs to be talked about. Human beings are very prejudicial about their ideals and everything. We'll talk a little bit about it here in a moment. I want to thank you for listening. I want you to remember, please, that you are listening to this radio broadcast on the sheer gratitude, love, and generosity of my sponsors who make all this possible. And if you're not a sponsor and you're listening to this radio program, don't you think it's time you give and become a sponsor to help us sustain our radio program? After all, you're listening to it. You're partaking of it. We live in a very interesting society that believes in getting away with something for nothing kind of mentality. But that always has a way of coming back on us one way or another in this world. I've seen it in the lives of friends, students, and even myself. So I understand it very, very vividly. If you are not a sponsor and would like a little more information about it, you go to the website at aspire.org, and you will see there support. If you click on it, Why Support Aspire will come down, and it will tell you all about the particulars of what it means to support Aspire, your tax deduction on it. You will receive, of course, a receipt for your income tax. But more than that, you're not only supporting this radio program, you're supporting many other things. My work at hospice. I don't want a jet. I don't want a new car. I don't want a new house. I just want to serve humankind in the way I do. And this radio program, believe it or not, is listened to by many, many more people than I ever thought it was. And most of those people don't give. They just choose to ignore it. And I hope you won't. You get the message of the month. You get access to all of my TV discourses that I did over the years. You get access to the podcast, video casting, commentaries, which, to say the least, is a lot, just right there. And if you're a serious person about inner work and you want to know more about the ins, the outs of it, I think you'll find the commentaries very helpful. All of that is there for you as a sponsor. So give it consideration. I would really appreciate it deeply. Let's talk a little bit about God. I am told, and I read, of course, it is the internet, so what do you know if it's true or not? Probably not. But I did read in a couple of surveys done by Pew Research that millennials do not generally believe there is a God. They believe more in science. And that's fine. I have no problem with that at all. And the question comes up in people's minds, is God dead? Is he dying in our society? God is certainly not a matter of culture, like some people would like to believe. The society is, supposedly this country was built on God. If this is our tribute to God, or God built of this country, then we have every reason not to like God at all. So anyway, we blame a lot of things on God. When occurrences happen, we can't explain. God did it. God took your kid. God took your baby. God made this happen. God made that happen. We have a lot of horse manure about it all. And we just don't have any insight within us, so we just blame God. And this is the human way, the sapient way. This is what we do. And so I get questions from time to time about God from people. I tuck them away in my precious little memory bank there in my computer. And I decided this morning is the time. So here's the first question from Carol. She does not tell me where she lives. You never seem to talk about God. Why? Do you not believe in God? Don't you think God should be the cornerstone of your radio programs and your work, Carol? Carol, there is an interesting phenomenon that happens, and I can't explain it to everyone, but I choose, first of all, to answer your question, I choose not to talk too much about God, because the phenomenon comes in. The minute you say that word, God, or love, everybody thinks they know. It sets in the human brain, the synapses firing off in a certain way, and we believe we know everything there is to know about God the minute you say that word, God. It's a done deal. And the sad part about it is, at least for me, the sad part is that those things are not, they're not helpful. Not at all. To talk about God is to talk about delusion and illusion in people's minds. Everybody has a God they answer to inside their brain. Everybody, even the person who does not believe in God, has something in their brain that tells them there's an authority figure. No matter what, everybody has to have someone to answer to and blame. So I don't like generally talking about God. I like, Buddha didn't either, by the way. He didn't even utter the word God for obvious reasons, because it plants in people's minds the idea and ideals of a God, of a higher power, as the AA people like to talk about it, that rules the earth. And this is just not true. God is not a higher power. But we need to submit ourselves to the idea of a higher power so we can, so to speak, how do I want to say this, section off our emotions and have them be higher and lower emotions, because the minute you say the word God, you invoke emotionality. God being the highest emotion in people, and evil or the devil being the lowest, depending upon your persona and your psychological stance. Sometimes it's reversed. It is. And I've seen it in people where the highest is the evil and the lowest is the whatever, the religious idea of it. God is implanted in our brain through religion and philosophy. The church has a lot to do with it. Now, when I say the church, of course, talking about Catholic Church, and then there's all sorts of religions. It's a way to get people to do what you want them to do. I'm not kidding you. You can say anything. Any minister who gains the affection of his congregation can use the word God to get just about anything they want. God told me to do this. God said that. Who was it? The other day, someone was explaining to me that God told them to do something really ridiculous, not to give to a homeless person, I believe it was. And God told them not to do this and that. I believe Charles Manson even had those kinds of thoughts about God and telling him what to do and all this stuff. I don't know about Adolf Hitler, but I wouldn't be surprised if he thought he was God. You know, it is very interesting to me how we use this God thing to do and get whatever it is we want to do and get. And we use it as an excuse for our cruelty. And I can't really talk about God like that, because to me, in my direct experience through meditation of that which is and that which is not, there is no God sitting there on a throne who sacrificed his only begotten son for what? His creations that he screwed up on? It just doesn't work like that. I don't get it. I don't get why people like it. It never appealed to me when I was a kid. And I never thought, even when I was a child, 5, 6 years old, that that was the way, the truth, and the light. It just wasn't for me. I didn't get it, and I didn't believe it. So, you ask me, you never talk about God. Why? Because it adds confusion. It adds prejudice. It's a bias. It's a pretense. And none of these things do you know anything about, nor does anyone else know anything about. I don't know anything about this dude that we call God. I have no idea what it is. I don't answer to it. I don't live by it. And yet, there is this tremendous energy that lives within you, lives within me, and it is in that energy that I abide. It is in that energy that I cultivate within me through my work, through meditation, especially through the tones. For me, just to answer your question, Carol, not to be, you know, sly on the thing here, God is tone and light. It is not a man. It is not even a thing. It is beyond the concept of thinking. It is beyond the concept of words. It is so beautiful. And it is elegant. And it flows in a way in which I do not care to understand. The object is to just enter into the flow that it is and not understand it. You can't understand the higher laws of life, of living, through the brain, through the human mind. It cannot accept it, can't decipher it. God is not information. God is love. And when you can put aside your mind and your thinking processes, your deductive reasoning and logic, for the sake of having the experience that is God, love just overflows, and you find a tremendous beauty in you. This is God as love, which is what Jesus said God was, and I can live with that easily. Because it is my experience that love is everywhere, that love is the all, that love is an intelligence that is beyond emotionality. It gives intelligence, whereas our emotions take away our intelligence. To think of God as anything else, to me, is the greatest mistake a person can make. To even think of God as a thing, a man, an object. It is amazing to me how we have misconstrued everything for the sake of creating God in our own image and our own likeness. We are narcissists to the nth degree. We have no idea what we're doing here on earth. We have no idea as a populace what the heck is going on, and nor do we care. And that's the big thing. We just don't care. We are a virus, a cancer, and we just kill ourselves, which is why we have all the diseases we have in this world, because we just don't care. It's sad. There you go, Carol. Hope that explained me. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question from Todd. Again, does not. Oh, wait a minute. What does it say here? Yes, New Mexico. Greg, where is God exactly? Todd. I'm not laughing at you, Todd. I'm not. I'm just thinking, you know, it's like the fish. You know, old joke of the fish, you know, running to its mommy saying, we've got to find water or we're going to die. God is the all. The all that is. And if you recognize this all that is, you will find that it is everywhere. Recently, I gave Todd my my students an exercise to do. I gave it to them way back in January at the workshops. And what it was to go to bed at night. And when you go to bed at night, wake up in the morning, to lay there and practice realizing beyond the concepts of mind, beyond the limits of the body, you are loved. You are loved. And I recently just finished a commentary on that, which will be published in the months down the road. You are love. And you are very much loved. Do you understand that, Todd? Beyond the body, the science, beyond your past, your future, beyond it all, you are loved. You are so loved. More than you could ever know in your brain, you are loved. To accept this, just to lay there before you go to sleep at night, it's something I've done for years. To imbibe that presence and wake up to it. Wake up to the fact that you, not your body, not your life, not your living, not anything, that you are loved. This is beyond the ability to conceive of it. Most people just can't do it. And my students can't do it either, because they can sit there and go through the motions of it after all the years of me teaching them, of giving them tones and meditations and chakra work and moving through the breath. They say they just can't do it because they didn't do any of those things in the earnestness of the heart. They just went through the motions. Once you come to that place where it is, once you can get into that state of consciousness through meditation, through silence, through a lifestyle that supports silence, through simplicity, solitude, and ultimate silence, you can imbibe the tones. You can receive them. When you do, they set off a series of experiences within you that awaken, not only awaken, but bring you to the essence where you can just lay in bed at night without fighting it, without resisting it, without doing anything, and realize you are loved. This love penetrates beyond conceptual ideas and beliefs. Now, your mind will try to get in the way, Todd. It will. It'll try to tell you, okay, I'm loved, I'm loved, I'm loved. It's not an affirmation we're talking about here. Not at all. It is a realization that we're talking about here. It is the realization of the meaning of what it is to know love itself. So when Jesus says God is love, you can understand what it really means. God is love. You are love. You are the love and the beloved of the loved. There's going to be a commentary coming up on this later this year, and maybe it'd be a good one, Todd, for you to look at. Become you can either become a sponsor or you can take a subscription to the commentaries. It would do you good. But then again, you would have to understand that you are loved. And nothing I say or nothing you do will mean anything until you recognize how loved you truly are. That you are the love you seek. Hope that helps you, Todd. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the next and last question from Carrie. Does not tell me where he lives, but he tells me he enjoys the TV programs, and I'm grateful. Does God have a plan? To me, it seems that if he does, he's losing the game on evil in this world. Carrie, you're right. If he's all powerful, if he's almighty, as religion would have us believe, there wouldn't be any evil in this world. After all, we're his creations. But people don't think like that. They can't. Because they need something to believe in. The weak always need something to believe in. They do. Those who have given themselves over to the body and the mind and all of that, they need some authority figure. I wrote a commentary on this, of why we need authority figures. So if you get a subscription or you become a sponsor, you can go and read those. They're very, very helpful. They might help you with all of this, but no, there is no plan for you. I've heard this from people who can't understand love. Anyone who can't understand love has not been able to accept the depth of love that is the presence of this very innate being. And that's all I can say about it. And even that is a sham, what I just said. Just a sham. But I don't have the words for it. The mechanism is not here on earth for this. So I have to use the words I have to use, much like the allegory in Genesis about God. It's an allegory. It's not to be taken literally. Anyway, this being does not have a plan for you. You're not that special. You're a biology. You're one of billions and billions of biological entities that run around on this planet creating nothing but mischief. So once you understand that you are just like anyone else, in fact, maybe you've lost your way because you live like anyone else, looking around and wanting the same things, wealth and power and comfort and luxury. Once you understand this is not the way, that this is not love, this is not the essence of God, you start to realize, maybe I'm evil because I want the... now you're getting it. Maybe we become evil because we want what's not God. Maybe I become evil when I want more than what my life is showing me. Maybe because I can't recognize the meaning of my life, I turn to things that maybe symbolize my comfort and security as a human being, but cause me to think in ways that are quote-unquote evil. No one ever thinks like that. I've never found anybody say, yeah, I've thought like that, or yeah, that makes sense to me. It's very hard for people to understand the way. They just can't do it. Does God have a plan? Absolutely not. God is a formula of love. God is a reverberation of love. God is the essence of that reverberation that is love. God is love. And why didn't Buddha talk about it? Probably for the same reason I shouldn't be talking about it either. Because it just confuses people. We want to know who's in charge here and why things happen the way they do. And we just don't understand the core of our own inner mischief. And that's why we have such great difficulty with our life. We just don't get it, and we don't want to get it. And that is the truth. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question, and I hope it helped. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I suggest you go and take a look at some of my commentaries, if nothing else. If nothing else. And I have plenty of TV programs there for you. What I'd probably suggest is A Life Worth Living, the story of Socrates that might be of great help to you. It's on the website at aspire.org. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. A really good one. God forbid you don't. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.